Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern Stories told by Spooky Gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe, and I have a story for you guys today. Robin has the giggles.
Yeah, are you going to ask about my life? Yeah,
I don't think I want to, honestly.
I RSVP'd to your wedding.
Oh my god, really?
And I tried so many times and I did it so badly that she had to walk me through it.
Yeah, yeah. I gave her sugar. That's why she's giggling. I apologize, dear listeners.
I've had two pieces of... you did, because you gave me the cookie. You gave me the cookie, and then you gave me the Swedish fish. So I'm just... this is a disaster sode.
Uh-huh.
I am the disaster.
Well, Robin, this is an episode where we're going to have to discuss a little bit. So I hope your discussions aren't giggles.
Can they be half giggles, half discussions?
That might be really hard for people to understand.
Zoe, how's life?
Well, speaking of RSVPing to my wedding, I did not.
I don't think you need to, do you?
I don't know, but...
I don't know either. What's the... Do you have to have a serious conversation with yourself saying, yes, I can go?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But so basically, the anonymous mailer that shall not be named, the website that sends out flyers for people, has let me down. I sent out a email blast last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I got.
Which I went to my spam.
Which I didn't get.
What?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it went... I think, like, half the people got it, and the other half of the people did not get it. So it ended up being in people's spam to the point where I was like, hey, did you get the save the date? And people were like, what save the date? So Corey and I are trying to be frugal and send out electronic save the dates and electronic invites. And I was like, not everybody got it, and it got to the point where a couple people were like, hey, didn't you say you were sending out save the dates? Mm-hmm. And Kari and I were like, well, we did. So I ended up following up with an email for my email address to everybody on my list and being like, hey, we sent out save the dates last week, mm-hmm. but it didn't go through for all of you, so here's a link, and also whitelist this email.
So, I got the initial email. I got the second email. I still needed your help.
Yeah. Well,
because I'm a disaster right now.
My grandmother, she figured out how to do it without my help. So.
I would never besmirch the elderly by assuming I can do something better electronically.
Okay. I work with a lot of elderly people.
I would never besmirch your grandmother by assuming that I could do something better electronically.
I mean, she has worked in computers for the last 30 years, so...
Again, I would never besmirch your grandmother.
Yes, she's a very lovely lady.
Likely so, yes.
Yeah.
Have I met her?
I think so. She's been at a couple of my birthday parties.
Is she at Rhett Sweet 16?
Yes.
I met her.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Robin, do you have a something, 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 something for us?
I have a something spooky. I don't know what you said. Today, we will be talking about familiars.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes. Familiars are our little pet friends who help us be witches, except that's not really who I am. Okay, I'm going to give you a bit of a background on familiars, and then we're going to do something a little bit fun that you know about, but the listeners don't know about that yet because they can't hear into the future. So,
yes, please give us a little bit of a background or whatever you said.
A background?
Yeah, you said background.
Aw, shoot. Okay, so the concept of familiars began in early modern or medieval Europe. It was not exclusively European, though, mm-hmm. because I did hear about an Australian healer who had a familiar.
Well, didn't Australians come from Europe? Well, the white Australians, at least, the non-native ones?
This was an indigenous Australian who
okay.
Was a healer. Yes, thank you for having me reference my notes. The idea is that this was a spirit of some sort who was meant to assist a witch or a person with powers in general. And the spirit would take the form of something solid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this form varied. It could be an animal. When it was an animal, it could be like a cat, a toad,
rat, a bat, a rat,
a bug. It could be a bug, Zoe.
Okay.
And it could also not be an animal, because sometimes they were shaped vaguely like humans, which I find incredibly disturbing. Mm-hmm. I don't want that, please. There's also versions of them that are like, well, it's as if these animals were combined together. This is what it would look like. And I just think that that's an ugly thing to look like.
So I could have, like, the Bigfoot as my familiar?
I guess in theory, yeah. Okay. The Bigfoot could be your familiar. But, Zoe, what would you be if you had a familiar? Let's go into that a hot second. So, I'm not actually asking you.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, like, who has familiars? So, witches, obviously. And the idea there, and this is just, I'm just telling you what the internet tells me, that this is the view of it, that if you're a witch who has a familiar, then that familiar is a demonic entity.
Oh, okay.
It's evil. But if you are a person who they called cunning folk, so think like a healer with magical powers that they use to heal, then your familiar is a good spirit. In both cases, the familiar will come to you as you are a youngish person coming into this power, and they, I think, will provide protection to you during the times before your power reaches its full level.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes.
Now, there are about four ways that you can meet your familiar. One of them is that you just meet them. Okay. They just come to you. They show up in your life randomly, and you're like, okay, that's my familiar. Another one is that your family or somebody who is more advanced at magic than you gives you a gift, and that gift is the familiar. Another one is that you are not magical yet, but you are going through a period of struggle, and this familiar will come upon you in your time of need, will give you your powers, and then will be your companion as you learn to wield them.
Gotcha. Sailor Moon.
Sure. And then the fourth way is that the devil gave it to you.
I like that one. I mean, I don't like that one.
Okay. Now, they are apparently known to drink the blood of their witch or magic person as their sustenance, which, gross. And, well, that's about it for the basics of the familiars. I'm sure there's a lot more information out there. I have a little fun fact before we get into our thing. It's not a fun fact. It's a fun anecdote. When I met Remy, my dear, sweet Remy, who yes. is a cat and who honestly looks a bit like me because we have the same hair color, fur color, whatever. I was in a shelter, and I was with a friend of mine and then a friend of mine's friend, because that friend was visiting from out of town, and the friend that I was bringing to the shelter specifically was there because she was looking for a cat, too.
Okay.
Now, I went around a lot. I spent a lot of time in that shelter, that one visit, trying to, like, find just, like, the ideal cat for me, okay? And I picked up Remy, and I held her like a baby because I heard that's what you're supposed to do. She won't let me do that now, but she let me do that then, which is confusing. Okay. Yeah. And we were just looking at each other, and it was really sweet. And then the friend of the friend came up, and she said, I hope you don't take this badly or anything, but she looks like she's your familiar. And I'm like, aww, yeah, she does. So anyway, we're gonna take a quiz, Zoe. Okay. This is a BuzzFeed quiz.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. So it is by a BuzzFeed community member, Avery Kareen. And the quiz is, all witches need a familiar. Take this quiz to find out yours. So it's going to tell us what type of animal our familiar would be. Now, I have taken this quiz already in preparation because I'm a very prepared podcast co-host. Uh-huh. So I'm going to ask you these questions. We're going to read out to you the potential answers you can choose from. You're going to choose an answer. I will tell you what I chose. And so in this way, it seems like we're taking the quiz together, but really it's an illusion. And then we're going to compare results, okay?
Okay.
So what is your Hogwarts house, Zoe? Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, Gryffindor, and Slytherin.
Slytherin.
All right. Mine, and this is a thing I have a lot of feelings about, but I currently chose Ravenclaw. Okay?
Okay.
You find a wallet with $100 cash in it. What do you do? There are 7 options.
Okay.
Which is a lot more than I would assume.
Keep it.
Keep it?
Okay. Is that one of the options?
You keep the wallet and all of... There's 2 options where you can keep the wallet.
Okay.
You keep the wallet and all of its contents. You go and buy yourself a dinner.
Okay.
Or you keep the wallet for, quote, research purposes, end quote. And I don't know what that means.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a full wallet. I was thinking it was just, like, a $100 bill on the ground, I guess. Is there an ID in this wallet? Just go ahead and read me the options. I'm sorry.
Okay. You return the wallet with the money to local authorities.
Okay.
You look online for ways of contacting the owner of the wallet, wanting it to make a safe return. You pocket the cash and bring the wallet to the nearest store. You take the wallet and send it off in a package to its owner with a nice handwritten note. You keep the wallet and all of its contents. You go and buy yourself a nice dinner. You leave the wallet on the ground and continue about your day. You keep the wallet for, quote, research purposes. And research is misspelled, and that might affect your answer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
Okay. Then the ship it off. I wasn't thinking that there would be an ID in it. Yeah.
So you take the wallet and send it off to in its package to its owner with a nice handwritten note.
Yes.
Oh, that's very nice of you. My choice was I look online for ways of contacting the owner of the wallet wanting to make it a safe return.
Got it.
So it's just kind of two ways of doing a similar thing. We're good people. What's your zodiac sign?
Taurus.
No, it's a Leo. Mine is a Cancer. What's your favorite color? The options are green, black, purple, blue, yellow, dark red, and orange.
I don't know. I've never considered my favorite color.
Okay, your favorite color is purple. Mine is green. Pick one of the following. There are seven options.
Okay.
Gaining the ability to grant world peace.
Boring.
Gaining the ability to win any argument ever. Suddenly being renowned and famous.
Mm.
Becoming the most attractive person in the world.
Uh-huh.
Gaining the ability to stay young forever.
Uh-huh.
Gaining all the knowledge of the universe. Suddenly having the best singing voice in the whole world. Okay, so what are you going with?
Let's go with the knowledge thing. I feel like you can make money naturally doing that.
Gaining all the knowledge of the universe. Nice. I picked the boring option of gaining the ability to grant world peace.
Oh.
And I'm just like, anytime, okay, like this is a little bit of a side. Anytime any quiz, like I'm thinking Pottermore specifically, and they're like, what do you want to do? Have world peace or save all these people or like have fun? And I'm like, or no, not Pottermore, but anytime like you're taking a quiz and it's like, what superpower would you have? And there's an option of healing people there and you don't take it. Like, come on. Come on. I'm not insulting you. I'm so sorry. But I'm just saying, like, if you're in real life, not a BuzzFeed quiz, if you're granted with these options, I'm like, I'm sorry. I have to pick healing people. You, which witch do you vibe with the most?
Okay.
Luna Lovegood.
Okay.
Ginny Weasley.
Uh-huh.
Boo from Brave. Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Scarlet Witch. Glinda the Good Witch. Or Ursula from Ariel.
Scarlet Witch.
All right. I picked Ginny Weasley. It's the year 1692, and you're being accused of being a witch in Salem, Massachusetts. What do you do? One, you blame your neighbor. You never really liked them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you accept your fate. What's the point in making a fuss? Three, you run away and leave no traces behind. Four, you make sure your family is safe, then try to prove your innocence. Five, you work together with another accused witch, with other accused witches to find a new target. Six, you plot a way to take down the whole system. Seven, you try to prove your innocence, but refuse to blame anyone else. What do you choose?
The runaway one.
You run away and leave no traces behind.
Yes.
Nice. I chose, you plot a way to take down the whole system.
Okay.
Pick an ancient civilization. Egyptian. Mesopotamian. Roman. Greek. Aztec. Chinese. Persian.
I really was going to say Egyptian, but then you said Mesopotamian?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's Mesopotamian.
All right, I am picking Mesopotamian. I chose Chinese. I was going to choose Greeks for, like, all of their cool philosophizing, but they were, like, extraordinarily horrible to women.
I feel like all those cultures were.
Yeah, but, like, the Greeks were like, you can't go outside, basically. Unless you're, like, chaperoned. I mean, I need to look into it more, but, like, it was, like, really, really bad.
I guess it depends on what level of Greeks, because in Sparta, like, I know women were, like, the heads of the household, and they were respected just as much as men and all of that.
Good point. I think I'm thinking Athens, specifically.
Okay.
Which one of the seven wonders are you? And these are just, like, different powers, okay?
Okay.
Concilium, which means mind control. Pyrokinesis, which I have to assume means something to do with fire. Okay. Telekinesis.
Okay.
Teleportation.
Uh-huh.
Discensum, which means astral projection.
Okay.
Vitalem vitalis, which means restore health, comma, resurrect, or divination.
The astral projection one.
All right. I chose divination.
Okay.
And I know I didn't choose the resurrect or helping heal thing, because then at that point I was in the mindset of, well, this is a BuzzFeed quiz, so just do what you want to do. And lastly, pick your poison. And I was kind of confused by the intent behind this question, but I'll get to the answers first. Sloth, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, pride, wrath. So these are the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I picking what I'm, like, afflicted with and I have an issue with? Or is it like, if I had to choose any of these to have, it would be this one?
I kind of see it as the second way.
I saw it as the first way, but that's fine. So okay. What's your answer?
Pride.
Very Leo. I chose sloth because I'm lazy sometimes. All right, so do you want to know what you got, Zoe?
What did I get?
Your familiar is a beetle.
You're kidding.
No, it's a beetle. Do you want me to read to you the information about it?
Yeah, I guess.
Although many tend to look down on you due to your introverted nature, you're quite creative and artistic. I don't think people look down on you. Your shell tends to hide your sweet and sensitive interior. People rely on you for positivity, although it's often something you struggle with yourself. Wow, that got deep.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's a toad. I know. We did not get the good option.
No, I wanted a kitty.
mine says, although you might come across as lazy or indifferent, you truly only put your energy into things that you're passionate about. You're often seen as a peacekeeper, and people value your emotional and social input. In parentheses beside that, I wrote, I resent that. So that is a something Southern. It's not Southern.
No, spooky. That's definitely spooky.
Something spooky for us today. Zoe, do you have a story for us?
No, sorry. We were short on time, so.
All right, well, everyone, if you liked today's episode.
I'm kidding, obviously. Though my power did go out 2 nights in a row. So that was a struggle.
New electronics lately are not matching up very well.
It was because of those really bad storms we had. And it wasn't like all the way out, it was a brownout, but it was enough to like turn my computer off.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, so Robin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take you to this very small town called Bladenboro, North Carolina. In the 2010 census, this town population was 1,750 people. They have one elementary school, one middle school, and one high school. Okay. That's it.
I'm sorry, the reason I'm laughing is because I had my eyes closed because you were taking me there, and then I realized it was just going to be a long time of me having my eyes closed. So now my eyes are open, and I recognize this is a small town.
Yes, this is a very small town. And 1750 was pretty high. Like that, like the numbers were only going up to the 2010 census. In 2019, it was estimated at a little bit of a lower number, and I want to say COVID, but, well, no, 2019 was before COVID. Never mind. So, people are leaving there, I guess. So, it's a farming town. It has its history in lumber, turpentine, and cotton. It was named after the Earl of Bladen back in the 1700s, who was the son of the King of England at the time. And it officially became a town as we define it and recognized by the state in 1903.
Bladen.
But now it's called Bladenboro.
Okay.
So, almost 30 years after it became a town, the town became wrapped up in something that made local and national newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
On January 30th, 1932, Lydia Williamson was in her home just enjoying her Saturday. They lived on Elm Street, and soon it became a real nightmare.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street. Thank you.
So she was in her dining room doing something a homemaker would do in the 1930s.
Like what, Zoe? Name what she's doing.
Feather dusting the chandelier.
All right. She's feather dusting the chandelier.
I'm guessing. So she was in the dining room when the window shade and curtain just erupted in fire.
Really?
Just completely random, erupted in blue flames. She screamed, and so her husband, Council, and their daughter, Katie, came running into the dining room, and they put out the flames, tearing it kind of down from the wall and, like, stamping on it, right? And they were like, what the heck happened? And Lydia said she didn't see anything. They were looking around. Even though it was in January, it was a southern January, so it was still 80 degrees outside.
Okay, 80 is really high for January.
Yes.
Even here.
Well, I mean, we did reach 80 degrees this past winter on a couple days.
Really?
When there was a heat wave going. And it was humid outside. And so they didn't have a fire going. They didn't have any candles lit. They did have a little bit of electricity in the house. So, like, electric stuff was on, but there weren't any live fires at the time.
I assume that would have made it into the story about the other fire.
Like, there wasn't, like, a candle or a fireplace lit.
Okay, gotcha.
So, they're looking around trying to figure out what was the cause of the fire when, across the room, another curtain and shade just on fire. Really? Yes. And these three people were the only three people in the room at the time, or in the house at that time. And so they put that fire out as well, and they were trying to, like, figure out what the heck is going on. And the oven was off. Like, they literally could not figure out what was happening. They ended up calling over, like, a neighbor or something like that. And over the next 3 days, over 20 fires erupted out of the blue with no cause. And they were all blue fires, which mm-hmm. means very, very hot. And it was all throughout the house. So
it was just their house?
Just their house. And it was all throughout it. So, like, there was a pair of shoes in Lydia's closet that just poofed into flames. And just, it didn't go out until the shoes were eaten to a crisp. There was a pair of pants that were hanging up to dry that burned up in a flash. Papers in closets, bed curtain or bed sheets, curtains, anything that was flammable in this house was just erupting in blue flame, and it wasn't leaving a mark.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a piece of paper or a blanket on top of a bed, right, that has other sheets, the blanket would burn up, but there wouldn't be any smoke damage. There wouldn't be any burns on the bed or the bed sheets.
And this family, so far in the story, is the only one witnessing this.
No. So this is happening over a period of 4 days, from January 30th until February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
There were nosy neighbors coming over. Lydia's family, Katie's family came over. So the granddaughter was nearby. The mayor came over. The town doctor came over, mm-hmm. electricians came over, police officers came over, and all these people were witnessing, poof, fire just erupting out of absolutely nowhere.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And like I said, it was blue fire, meaning it's really, really hot, and it wasn't damaging anything else around it. And people could not figure it out. Like, they took scraps of the materials that were left over, because there was a little bit left over, and they sent it to a chemist, and the chemist wasn't able to figure out, like, nobody could figure out what was happening. So it got to the point where the family was just like, I need to be out of here, because, I mean, 20 fires, I imagine that's kind of stressful.
I would leave.
Yeah. It's actually pretty cool, because, so even though this was happening in the 1930s, Katie's son was still alive when a few newspapers were doing, like, it's been 30 years since this happened, you know, mm-hmm. kind of situation. And so, probably more than 30 years, but this 84-year-old man who was 10 at the time was interviewed about this, and he was able to tell his story. And he said people could his name was Julian Shaw.
Okay.
So he said, people could hardly believe it, but I know it happened because I was there. They tried everything they could to find out what caused them fires. He said them fires. They had all kinds of people coming out to the house to check on it. And then to add to the mystery, not a single member of the family ended up getting burned from the fire. Even though Lydia's granddaughter, okay, this has been one of those stories where it's like, sometimes there's been added or confused things.
Yeah.
So if you were to Google it and you could find a one paragraph blurb about it on some Reddit thread, they would say that Lydia herself, her dress caught on fire. It could have been her, it could have been Katie, or it could have been Katie's daughter. But mm-hmm. one of them, their dress randomly caught on fire, and it was the same blue fire, but they were able to, like, remove the dress and put out the fire before anyone got hurt. So you'd think, like, with these fires erupting, somebody would get hurt.
Yeah.
But not a single person got burned. Not even a nosy neighbor who was hanging out.
Not even the nosy neighbors.
Not even the nosy neighbors, which is a real shame if you ask. I'm kidding. I never want somebody to get hurt.
No. My mind is already kind of like trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Oh, don't worry. I have a couple theories that we can talk about.
Okay, good.
So the family left the house because they were like, nah, I'm good. So they left the house on February 1st around noon, which honestly, they lasted a lot longer than I would have probably.
I feel like the first fire, okay, we put it out. The second one, and then I think, okay, at that point, my mind would be saying, like,
there's something in here.
I'd be thinking, like, someone was throwing something in. Like, Molotov cocktail style.
Right.
And then I'd be, like, darting out, grabbing my cat.
Yeah.
Going.
No, honestly, if something was, like, I would be packing up what I could and being like, hey, Mom, can I stay the night? You know? So they moved out and stayed with a family friend after February 1st around noon. So, and it was kind of funny because, like, the newspapers were reporting on this. And one of the newspapers called the Blad and Journal was like, Mr. and Mrs. Williamsons are citizens of the highest type and are in great distress over the unusual occurrences. And it's like, yeah, I'd be too, but, like, why did you have to talk about them being citizens of the highest type? Like, I think it was supposed to go towards their character. Like, they wouldn't be lying about this.
Absolutely.
But, like, the mayor saw this happening, you know?
Yeah, maybe they didn't think that the mayor was the best citizen of the highest type.
Oh!
I don't know.
Though I do have to say, it confused the heck out of me for a little bit because... So his name is Council, the husband's name is Council H. Williamson, and I was trying to find Councilman H. Williamson, and so, especially since a couple of the sources that are, again, those one paragraph blurbs, were calling him Charles.
I guess maybe that was a nickname.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, so they left, and then neighbors set up a guard for the house. So neighbors and concerned citizens performed this, like, impromptu guard where they had, like, shift changes and everything.
They probably wanted to make sure that, like, no fire would start and then uncontrollably spread through the neighborhood.
Right, yeah. And so there was constantly somebody outside, at least one person outside, and occasionally they'd walk through the house just to make sure nothing was on fire.
Was anything on fire after the family left?
No.
Ooh.
After they left, not a single fire broke out.
Hmm.
And so after a couple days, the family did end up coming back, and there was never a fire again.
Okay.
So, like I said, it was investigated by police, by firemen, by electricians, but they could not figure out what the source of the fires were. Like I mentioned a couple times, there are a lot of false accounts of what happened. Some people say that the first thing to burn was Lydia's dress, not the window. And some people say that the fires continued after the family left. But most of those go back to a novel by... I didn't write his name because the article I was reading was like, this horrible person wrote a mystery novel about it and he sullied the truth. I'm like, I'm not gonna put their name, but it was a mystery novel in 1967. I think his last name might have been Glovis or something like that. But yeah, so that book said, oh, the fires continued, but the fires never actually continued. And so the house has been torn down now, but there are still a lot of people who, like, drive down the road and, like, debate on what happened and things like that. So Council ended up passing away 6 years later at the age of 76.
Mm-hmm.
He died of, I saw his death record and they wrote in cursive, so it was a little hard to read it. But I think it was saying toxema, which is known in pregnancy as preeclampsia. And basically, it seems to be chronic high blood pressure causes damage to your organs and causes organ failure.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife, Lydia, passed away in 1948, aged 78. I didn't see her death record, but they're both buried in the Pinecrest Cemetery.
Okay.
Just to close out that little story.
All right.
So, Robin.
Yeah.
The theories.
Yes, please. Thank you.
So, the first one, I have, like, a disproven thing for, like, it is disproven. So I want to get into that one first.
Okay.
That is that it was electrical fires. So a lot of people were like, oh, they probably had a shortage throughout the house that was causing sparks and electrical fire, right?
Yeah.
So to disprove that, they turned off the power after day two. And the fire still continued.
The fire still continued. So, Zoe, I a little bit about electrical fires. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been around an electrical fire?
Once when I was, like, 10.
Do you remember anything specifically from that moment?
No.
Okay, well, I know some things about electrical fires because I have been around electrical fires. So, okay, years and years ago, for whatever reason, we kept buying my dad flying toys. We kept buying him, like, helicopters, remote control helicopters and stuff, okay? One remote control helicopter was on the top of a wooden bookshelf in my house. I think he had been playing with it outside and he brought it in and had been there and had been sitting there for a while. Like the three of us, me, my mom, my dad, were in the living room just conversing. Nothing was happening. And then all of a sudden, we start smelling this really weird smell. And the closest thing I can come to, it smells like burning water. Like when steam is happening, but like when things are, it almost smells like when things are getting hot, like water's getting hot, like really, really quickly, which I don't even know if that has a specific smell, but like every time I smell this, I know for myself, like this is an electrical fire, but like it smells like burning water. And so the smell of burning water came through and then all of a sudden that helicopter just like had a flame in it.
Oh.
Yeah. So I can't. I remember he grabbed it. I think he probably rushed outside. I don't know if you douse it in that situation. The fire was put out. Uh-huh. It turns out the helicopter had been recalled, and we think that the guy who sold it to us knew it had been because he sold it to us at a very low discount, a very low price. So, like, that's your warning. Do not buy discounted helicopter toys. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is because electrical fires do come with a very specific smell, and I was wondering if this was an electrical fire. It's 1930s. They were still working out the kinks of electricity in the house. Right. But I also figured, you know, I really think that if this was happening that much, you would think somebody would mention, and the place smelled really weird because it is a very weird, very noticeable smell.
Would you say it smells like a really humid day? Like a really humid, hot day?
That is definitely an element of it. There's almost like another layer to that smell.
Okay.
But yes. Because, like, yes, that is an element to it. So, are you saying, like, would it have just smelled like that already?
No.
It is separate enough that an 80-degree day would not naturally. You would still be able to tell, like, this was a different smell happening on top of that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, they ended up shutting down electricity in the house on day two, and the fires continued.
Okay.
That's why I kind of said that they lasted longer in the house than I would have, because the second they turned the power off, I'm like, I'm out of here. Bye.
I feel like at that time, you're like almost the exception if you have electricity in your house. Is that the case? When did electricity start becoming normal?
I would have to Google that.
You don't have to Google that right here. That's not for this pod. That's for a, what is it? How Stuff Works pod. Or I don't know.
Okay. So the second theory is my favorite theory is that either Lydia or Katie Williamson are witches. So they were.
Okay.
So this kind of goes into the, I guess I would say, like, the next three theories-ish.
Okay.
Or the next two. This is one of the three. So, you know the whole thing with poltergeists.
I knew poltergeists were going to come up in this one.
Yes. So, in the Haunted Hospitalities Guide to Ghost Hunting, episode one, part one, I did go over what a poltergeist is, and some of the elements in a poltergeist actually show up here. So, poltergeists are mischievous. They cause problems without causing harm, aka the fire was a problem, but nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. So, people are thinking this is a pyromantic poltergeist. Say that five times fast.
Pyromantic poltergeist. Pyromantic poltergeist. Pyromantic poltergeist. Pyromantic poltergeist. Pyromantic poltergeist.
Nice.
Thank you.
I will not do that. So it started just as quickly as it stopped once the family left. And depending on the source, either Lydia's granddaughter was either there the whole time or only there after the first fire.
Mm-hmm.
So the little girl energy is what poltergeists are attracted to, kind of thing.
Okay.
And so a lot of people, like, my theory really is that this is a pyromantic poltergeist, and that is what's causing these fires.
Mm-hmm.
People like to explain poltergeist two different ways, depending on if you're a critic or somebody who's in the mystics.
I think when it comes to poltergeist, I'm the critic.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay.
So the people who don't believe in poltergeist but do believe in mystic things would say that Lydia, Katie, or their granddaughter is a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energy of becoming a teenager, or maybe menopausal energy, or maybe Lydia's, or maybe Katie was pregnant, who knows?
There's so many stages of women's lives that carry so much energy.
Yes. And maybe they were causing fires, and it tended to be...
I'm sorry. I love the transition. I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay. Maybe the energy was causing fires. I'm so sorry for laughing at the theory. Continue.
But maybe they were witches, and they either didn't know it, or they were being mischievous, and they were setting fires around the house. So the critics would say Lydia's granddaughter was just setting fires around the house, or grandchildren, or somebody was setting a fire.
Can we review for a second who was in the house?
So, unfortunately, I cannot give you a concrete answer on that.
Okay, so Lydia and her husband were the main people who lived in the house.
Yes. However, Katie, they were older.
Their daughter, Katie, had her own family with at least one son and one daughter who were at the house at this time, or who Katie was at the house at this time. Perhaps her children were, or perhaps they came in after the fact because, what, they wanted to hang around the fires? I feel like you would get the grandchildren out of that situation, but okay.
I think it was more of a, I'm going to go check on my mom and dad who, well, no, because Katie was definitely there. And I feel like in these times, you wouldn't be anywhere without your kids as a woman.
Yeah, you wouldn't leave your parents alone in that situation. And maybe, okay, I'm sorry for mom shaming her. Okay, bring your kids to the burning house.
Yeah. So I'm willing to say probably it was the two, at least two grandkids. I did end up finding their whole family on Find a Grave, and unfortunately, all of them had issues where they had children that never made it past a year old.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, Council and Lydia actually had six children, and only two of them lived to adulthood, and one of them passed before Lydia. So, Katie probably was there with Lydia and Council with her kids.
Okay.
One of them could have been starting the fires.
For sure.
Lydia was definitely seeming to be the person, the central person around it. It was usually her things that were being burned. But in the case of the dress that was burned, this one person, Joe Nickel of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, says that he believes that one of the children, particularly the girl whose dress was on fire, whether that be Katie or the granddaughter, was the person setting the house on fire without notice. Without other people noticing.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, the descriptions of the first fires were that the flames started from the bottom and went up. And so a child could reach that, I guess. And whoever's dress was set on fire, they could have easily set their own dress on fire when nobody was looking, kind of situation.
Yeah. Things take a hot second to catch flame. I don't know. And how was it blue?
Yeah, how was it blue? Because that would be really, really hot. And it's like, it's not like they had lighters back then. They didn't have, like, butane lighters where she could just flick it real quick and set a fire.
Well, they had probably, like, kerosene and stuff. It's just, you would also, wouldn't you smell that?
Yeah, I think so.
Then again, it did start in the window. Was the window open?
So that was a theory I didn't see anywhere online. Just, like, potentially the sun focus, like, you know how they say, okay, maybe you don't know, when you get a crystal ball, okay, you know what a crystal ball is?
As you do.
You're not supposed to leave it in the window uncovered. And you might be like, oh, ghosts, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Physics. If the sun goes through the crystal ball,
yeah,
it will be hyper-focused on one spot on the other side, and that would be hot enough to start a fire. So
that's very interesting.
If there's, like, lenses and window panes and stuff like that happening, I could see that as a possibility, But you have to remember, there were things in closets, closed closets, that were getting erupted on fire.
I didn't know about the closed closets.
Sorry, the shoes that I mentioned and the papers. They were in closed closets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Okay, so thank you for letting me go on that thing. I just kind of wanted to have a bearing of, okay, who are my suspects?
But, so yeah, a lot of people suspect Lydia's daughter, Katie, or the granddaughter, or Lydia, for just starting fires because boredom, need attention. If it is the granddaughter, a lot of children become pyromaniacs if there's something not great happening at home, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of serial killers start as little mini pyromaniacs. It's like, what are the three? It's like above average intelligence, pyromania, and bedwetting.
Lots of kids bedwet.
Well, bedwetting, yeah. But it's like that coupled with the other things.
Mm-hmm.
What was in, oh, harming animals.
Yeah.
Those four things, if it's all present in one kid, they become like FBI's most wanted. Not really, but it becomes something to be concerned about generally. Yeah. So they're thinking maybe that is it. I personally impartial to a little poltergeist ghost.
Yes.
Because I feel like that explains the most if you believe in ghosts.
Okay, yes. Okay. I don't really think of poltergeist and ghosts as the same thing. I know that they were part of your ghost hunting thing. I think of them as a separate entity because I don't think of them as having any connection with
being
a human. Yeah. Whereas I think ghosts are exclusively something that was alive that is now not alive. If I believe in ghosts at all. And, okay, so yes, a poltergeist would explain this. I argue that, like, the whole thing behind poltergeist, though, is just chaos. And so whenever something chaotic happens that does not have a clear answer, you can simply say poltergeist. And that would clear everything up were they to exist.
Yes. There is one more explanation.
Okay.
However,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't believe in this either.
Okay.
Spontaneous combustion.
Okay, okay.
So this brings us back to episode 25.
Yes, it does.
The mysterious death of Mary Reeser.
Yes, it does. Okay.
So
it was the unusual death of Mary Reeser.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So some similarities between that and this is that the fire that killed Mary Reeser, potentially, I remember they didn't know if she was dead before or after the fire, right?
I believe that you couldn't really tell time of death.
Right. Yeah. So in that situation, even though there was a very hot, intense fire, there wasn't any damage to, like, the cushion she was on. Or parts of it. Or there's like a paper next to her that wasn't lit.
Okay, I can tell you exactly what it is. There was damage to her immediate area. However, it was almost as if it was a column of fire because there were things near her that were largely unharmed that would have otherwise burnt unless it was a very controlled, hot flame that did not somehow spread. So there were the scene of it was a very confusing thing to come across because that is not how we know fire typically to burn. However, there are reasons for it in her case.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of spontaneous human combustion situations that are very similar. Like there was one where this man had like a pack of cigarettes right next to him and not a single one was burned, but despite the fact that he was burned to a crisp. And it's like, well, if he was right next to it, the fire should have burned it, you know, because it got hot enough, because those fires burn at a very high heat. And that's similar with the blue flames. It's a very high heat. It wasn't causing any external damage, so that fits with the theory of spontaneous combustion. But in humans, we have the human wick theory or something like that.
Yes.
That explains, if you believe in spontaneous human combustion, it explains that a little bit with the fat, and unfortunately...
And it doesn't have to be spontaneous human combustion for the human wick effect to occur. There okay. just has to be something that causes the fire to start. And then the human wick effect, it does not depend on spontaneous human combustion.
Gotcha. Okay. But it's basically, like, your fats keep the fire burning, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would explain why a fire continues to burn out. But in this situation, they were trying to figure out how a fire would spontaneously happen and continue to burn, you know?
So all of these fires had to be put out, right?
So they would either consume the item entirely and then go out, even if there are other flammable things nearby, mm-hmm. or it was put out by the family.
Very interesting.
So the way they explained it...
Mm-hmm. Who's they?
Somebody who believes that he has solved... Somebody on the internet who has believed that he solved it.
Okay. All right, all right.
Robin.
Oh, God.
I'm yeah. going to say it. I don't believe it.
Okay.
So, it gets a little gross. So, the theory goes that rats and roaches excrete goose, like, bodily fluids.
I mean, everybody excretes bodily fluids now and then.
Well, in this situation, they just say that rats and roaches are gross, and they touch things.
That's true.
And they get their goose... on the things.
I'm following you.
And that flower is very flammable in its powdered form.
What flower?
Like baking flour.
Oh, I thought you were like, and that specific flour. And I'm like, wait, why? I'm sorry, I was at the ooze.
So, flour is flammable. Okay. So, they say that the amount of flour in the air, even though I couldn't find anything saying that she was baking or anything.
Like an insane amount.
Like an insane amount of flour.
All around the house.
All around the house, in the closet.
I'm sorry, they were like floating flour everywhere. Like, I'd be like, honey, you have a problem. We need to.
So they were saying that there's floating flour particles all throughout the entire house.
Uh-huh.
And that there would be a tiny spark. And that spark would light the fire to a trail that would find the trail? It would follow the air, the trail of flour in the air, to find the flammable item that has rat and roach goo on it, and that will become the... Robin. And that will become the candle... And that's why the things were firing. So, like, the curtains would have so much rat and rodent goo. Rat and roach goo, excuse me.
Rat goo on the curtains? Rats are heavy.
And roach goo.
Okay.
And that the flower, there would be a spark, and the fire would find its way to the rat goo curtains.
Uh-huh.
And because it has the goo on it, it sustains the fire,
mm-hmm.
and the fire goes all the way up and burns it to a crisp.
So, okay.
Uh-huh.
He has a point. And, okay, let me explain first that I disagree with, I think, most of what is said here. Not that it couldn't theoretically happen, but just, like, I'm like, okay, so we are postulating that this house is so full of baked goods that flour is just everywhere. You are breathing in flour constantly. It cannot be good for your lungs.
No.
And that it is at the same time so filthy that there is rat and roach goo specifically all over very specific items.
Flammable items.
And that this all coalesced on one weekend in particular.
Mm-hmm. And I guess when they left, she stopped baking, so...
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I find the whole flour to roach goo a little bit not plausible, or at least not likely. However, I think that the point he has is that there must be some sort of substance... that coats the things that burn. Now, I'm pointing to my whiteboard, which I have behind me.
Uh-huh. I see a blanket.
Shut up. You have to... Okay, let's assume everybody's telling the truth.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't know if that's the case. Let's assume for the moment everybody's telling the truth. We can get into the second thing in a second. There has to be something coating these items.
But all of the items?
Let's assume we're in a situation where nothing makes sense, so therefore we have to explore our options. He explored the rat goo to flower option. We are the rat goo to flower pipeline.
I'm sorry, it's the flower to rat goo.
The flower to rat goo pipeline. We are exploring what if everybody's legit.
Yes.
Something has to be coding these items for it to, like, let's say, the fire to just consume this item. It has to be something that burns hot as all get out and quickly.
Without a discernible smell that people would be complaining about.
Exactly. Exactly. This thing cannot smell.
Uh-huh.
It has to be something that appears on curtains, on shoes, on papers, and on dresses.
Do you think they were like...
All at once.
Do you think they were washing their laundry with like a special type of soap that was maybe flammable?
Perhaps. What if they just washed everything in the house? Including the papers.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you do need the spark, because I am not really... Spontaneous combustion just simply cannot exist, right? Like, there has to be some sort of cause. It can be an unlikely cause, but there has to be something to cause it.
Yeah, unless there's, like, an alien with a magnifying glass treating us like ants.
Yeah, let's assume that's not happening. Okay, so if something is coding it that is scentless, what could that possibly be, Zoe? Other than rat goo. I refuse to accept that Lydia keeps an untidy house.
The only thing I can think of is what they were cleaning. Like, I know soap is made out of fat sometimes. Okay. So if fat can be the candle, human candle wick, whatever they call it, then it can be in this candle. Yes. So maybe they did wash everything, including the papers, with wax.
All right. They got new cleaning stuff. The cleaning stuff sucks. and then perhaps by the outlets, there were little sparks because electricity is new.
Yeah.
And then that caught. And
but
it just
did they
happened.
Have outlets? I don't think they had outlets yet.
How did they have electricity?
Because they would have had lights.
I don't know how things used to work.
I don't either.
Maybe they just had electricity installed. Because, you know, like, in Downton Abbey, they're like, oh, don't touch the phone. It has the vapors. Because they were concerned about, like, what electricity could do to you.
Thank you for assuming that I have seen Downton Abbey.
You know in Downton Abbey when that happens. I have not seen the second Downton Abbey movie, but I did see the first.
I thought it was a show.
It was.
Oh.
They are still kicking.
Oh.
Via movies.
Okay.
The last one was Downton Abbey, A New Era.
We're talking about rat goo.
Sorry, we're talking about... No. We moved on. We are now talking about scentless cleaning things.
You say, like, let's assume everyone's telling the truth. Okay.
I don't think everybody's telling the truth.
Everybody has... Okay. There are some things that we absolutely know because there's too many people agreeing with it.
Okay.
The fires happened.
The fire... Things we know. One. The fire happened. Number two?
Blue fire.
It was blue.
Number three.
Uh-huh.
It did not damage anything else around.
All right.
Number four.
Okay.
It happened in rooms that not necessarily somebody was in, like the closet.
See? Okay, there we go, though. Not necessarily.
Well, okay, the reason I said that is because sometimes it happened while people were in the room. Sometimes it happened when nobody was in the room. Mm-hmm. They just smelled smoke and went running, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like unless they have some sort of, like, Houdini closet in their house, there's no closet with two entrances in this ye old house, okay?
Okay, yeah, but, okay, let's say you're a granddaughter, because I am suspicious.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Or it could be the grandson. Either way.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you're a grandchild, and you're in your grandparents' house, and you're, like, for whatever reason, you are consumed with setting ablaze to everything, but not quite hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a closet with papers. You have doused the papers in the scentless, flammable liquid you have come across. that doesn't show up as liquid or whatever. I don't know. You have a lighter. You flick it. Or a match. That's more traumatic. You have a match. You have match lit in the dark. You put the match there. Maybe takes a hot second. So, like, it's, like, burning. You leave, you're going, you're with your family in a room, and then you're like, do y'all smell burning? And then y'all go. And then it's like, ah, no. And then nobody suspects you. You are the golden child.
Yes, but then, again, you have to think, everybody's, like, literally in the room, and then the bedclothes catch fire. And, like, they would have seen if somebody just, like, reached over real quick and set it on fire.
I think they have to be dousing these things ahead of time.
And, like, Lydia was in the dining room by herself when the two fires went off.
It could have started. Kids hide behind curtains all the time.
Not burning curtains.
I don't know. What if it's Lydia? What if she's doing it? Why are we ignoring Lydia?
Because she was like 60 at the time.
They get up to mischief.
You want to...
I'm not blaming Lydia, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's very unlikely that this entire situation happened and everybody's telling the truth. Again, poltergeist would solve everything, yes. But I'm a critic.
I think it was a poltergeist. I think all the facts laid out in front of me,
okay.
It was a poltergeist.
All the facts laid out in front of me. I think someone's lying. I'm not blaming anyone in particular. I'm just saying, like, I just really feel like somebody is setting some very small, very undetectable fires.
Using materials that they shouldn't have access to.
It stopped when they left.
And that's very common with poltergeists.
It's also what happens when an arsonist leaves a house.
But it didn't start anywhere else they went.
But if it did, I think you would know. Like, I think at that point, if anybody was doing it, I think at that point they might know that the jig is up.
Uh-huh.
Or it should be. Otherwise, it's going to start being very clearly you. Or maybe they were like, oh, shoot, I didn't intend for these consequences to happen. I think I should stop now. This is a perfect opportunity to stop.
Well, Robin.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how haunted do you think this house is?
Haunted? Is that the right word here?
Well, that's what we've used in the past.
How poltergeisty? How about that?
Okay. I can argue that a poltergeist haunts a place.
All right, fine. How haunted is it? 1.5.
Oh, okay.
1.5.
I'm going to give it like a 5.
That is way less than I thought you would give it.
Well, I was thinking about giving it an 8, but there is, like...
There's a huge difference.
Because I was like, oh, it's definitely haunted, but I was like, oh, wait, spontaneous combustion. That could happen, too.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we're a 1.5, and we're a 5. I feel like you should add some extra points for spontaneous combustion. That should be, like, another thing that's just, like, added to every haunted place we cover. It's like, how... Do you think spontaneous combustion happened here on a scale from 1 to 10? Anyways, I'm a 1.5. You are a 5. All right. This has been a treat, Zoe.
Yes. I apologize for excessive giggling, dear listeners.
I mean, I rounded up the episode being like, ha, ha, ha. I mean, I started the episode being like, ha, ha, ha. Yes. I couldn't help myself.
It was a fun episode, though.
It was. Thanks so much, Zoe.
You're welcome.
If you liked today's episode, please rate, prescribe. Rate, subscribe, review, get Robin some speech classes. Tell a friendo, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/hauntedhospitality for just $3 a month. You get a new episode from us.
Yes, and it comes out on the 13th because we're spooky.
Ooh.
If you want to see my sources for today's episode, you can head over to hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com.
Yes.
So that's hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com. And if you want to write to us, whether you have your own theory on this, if you believe in poltergeists...
A very clear option that neither of us touched on...
You can write to us at hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com.
You can also reach us on the interwebs. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Haunted Hospitality. We're also on Twitter at Haunted Host. We hope to see you there.
Stay spooky.